First Baptist Church of Redmond, May 9th, 2021, Ecclesiastes Chapter 2, Mother Told Me.
Please rise and join me in reading Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 2. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is senseless, and of pleasure, what does this accomplish? You may be seated.
This isn't talking about if you get a joke or not, ha ha ha. But it's back to the theme of futility, frustration, and irritation. I was thinking about it, I've titled this Mother Told Me, because your mother would, if she's a Christian, would tell you all the things in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. When your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It is mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. This is the theme of this week's passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. Just because you can do it, doesn't mean you should. Starting with chapter 2, verse 1, some debate, until Ecclesiastes 5. This piece of advice is significant for Solomon because he didn't listen to his mother. He doesn't listen to his mother's advice because he did the opposite of our quote. He could do it. He was the richest guy around. He was the smartest guy around. He was the most persistent guy around. And he did everything. I said to myself, come now. I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. Pleasure for Solomon involved play, property and parks, possessions. What is that? I chart. They're pretty universal. If you look at the eye chart, I can tell you that the same lines are repeated. F-E-L-P-O-Z-D on every eye chart. How do I know it? Trust me, I know it. The I factor. He had some, eye trouble. Let me refer to my slide. I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. And I made gardens and parks for myself. He was like Emily. I collected for myself silver and gold. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men. And all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. If somebody talks like that, what can you assume? Say it clearly. pretty self-centered. I, myself, 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 Solomon, who formerly acted like the wisest person on earth, is self-centered. Selfishness. I said of laughter, it is senseless. And of pleasure, what does this accomplish? Our friend Solomon, with a limitless supply of money and without any sense of accountability to others, took it as far as he could take it. He lived in extremes. When all was said and done, he said, "What an empty waste of a trip." He journeyed far. He was the wisest man, so people would seek out his advice. But I've said before, he jumped the shark. He was beyond listening to God. He admits to that in some section. I explored with my mind how to refresh my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to cease foolishness until I could see what good there is for the sons of mankind to do under heaven for the few years of their lives. This is a sophisticated, wealthy man. When you drink more than table wine, it's investment. Some bottles of wine routinely cost $1,000 a bottle. If you're an investor, you can spend $10,000 on a bottle of wine. I don't know if you saw the news story, but the astronauts who came back from space recently, this week, brought a bottle of wine with them and took it back off of the International Space Station. It was analyzed and said to taste a little bit differently, different chemical combinations than before. It's estimated that when they put the bottle on the market, yes, you can buy it, it'll cost one bottle $1 million or more. Wow. He plans to become a connoisseur of that whole world of liquid wine. Refresh my body with wine means he sees that if they sharpen the appetite, enhance their enjoyment, sampling, and enjoying. The thought of being a drunk is not under consideration. He was not drunk with wine, but he sampled and tasted it and got involved with evaluation. He was a wine critic. He's saying, maybe there is more than I realized to this fantastic kind of spirits they bottle. Many people practice that. Many people discuss hints of lemon, hints of spice. They become experts in flavoring. But again, it fails miserably to satisfy. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Solomon is one that knows the true and living God. He can never be satisfied merely with what the world offers. I and my, he's speaking intensely personal words. He's giving his quasi-testimony. Some would include in the seven, some would include the Temple of Solomon in the seven wonders of the ancient world. It's not in the normal list, but I read about it, and people like to argue what the seven wonders really were. The pyramid at Giza is the only one surviving still, but there's some debate. He was a builder. Houses is a plural. He was in charge of much constructing. When that didn't satisfy, I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted them in all kinds of fruit trees. He took up horticulture. Ha ha ha. He planted sprawling parks. I have a picture. The picture you see now is guessed to be planted initially in the era of Solomon, 950 BC. Some of it is still standing. Fruit-bearing trees that would yield lovely, scented blossoms bloom every spring. The landscape must have been breathtaking. I didn't include parks. If you know Galina Baranova, she always posts lovely flowers, scenery that she and Vlad walk through, but she is a flower person. The landscape that Solomon planted must have been tremendous. We only see the shadow, but he must have planted enormous and excellent things. I made ponds of water for myself, from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I have a picture that is supposedly a water source from the era of Solomon that he used when planting trees. He needed a pond of water. Why? To keep the place green, because it was a desert. He dug reservoirs and canals. It speaks of irrigation. The man stopped at nothing, yet he remained lonely, always restless, and never fulfilled. I bought male and female slaves, and I had slain slaves born at home. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. He then filled the place with slaves, because who wants to work if they don't have to? He bred them. They had their own harems, flocks. He decided that he would have more than anyone else around. It's good to be king, yes? It's good to be rich. And he was culturally the richest man who lived now. Still, he wasn't satisfied. I have another verse. I also amassed for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of sons of men, many concubines. Silver and gold was the tribute, taxes the king made. He charged fees to cross Israel. He even bought singers. He wrote over 1,000 songs, Solomon did. He sat back and listened. And his wives turned away his heart from the Lord. For when Solomon was old, this is in 2 Kings 11. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. The key difference between Solomon and David. Solomon forgot his God. David put God number one. He would occasionally fail. There's sins listed that David practiced. But he knew how to repent. And for the most part, he didn't do the same sin twice. So his heart was wholly devoted to his God. But Solomon's was not. Solomon exhorted the people to have hearts that were, quote unquote, perfect with the Lord. 1 Kings 8:61. That is, undivided, totally yielded to him alone. Yet, his own heart was not perfect with God. Solomon didn't totally abandon Jehovah, but made him one of the many gods that he worshipped. How nice. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods. Then, it's swimming in irony, then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. He speaks of his greatness in the same breath that he says, my God, Jehovah God, Yahweh God, he's only partially the source of my knowledge and wisdom. Picture this. You wake up in a dream. You become great, like Solomon. There is a hunger for more, more. But that same hunger is never satisfied. The problem Solomon had was that he had to live with himself. He knew all about himself. He knew the shortcuts he made. He knew the mistakes and sins that he made. And I look at it as he confessed that he was distant from God for years. In the process of time, you lose the eternal things that used to matter to you, including what his father David had, a heart after God. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. Wow. What a statement. I did not restrain my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. He worked to be able to leave God in sin. And this was my reward for all my labor. I worked hard to be willing to sin. I worked hard to be ready to disobey God. And my reward was to ignore God. In pursuit of pleasure, Solomon denies himself nothing. He thoroughly enjoys his task of research. Indeed, he even considers it as his reward. he earned the right to not listen. Pride, that's what he was. Pride in his toil drives Solomon to pursue pleasure with gusto. So I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was futility. We've seen this phrase before, and striving after wind, and there was no benefit for a life lived under the sun. Pleasure is short-lived. Solomon examines his activities. Again, he admits to practicing everything. There was nothing he withheld from himself. And the search for happiness, pleasure, satisfaction led to only futility and striving after wind, grasping the wind. How can pleasure be the reward for works when works themselves do not endure? For us, be a simple kind of man. True joy cannot originate with humanity itself. That is the bottom line. The bottom line after all Solomon's searching, testing, and consideration. Under the sun, there exists no lasting happiness or pure pleasure apart from God. Do you like animals? Okay. In New York City, there are 8 million cats that we know of and 11 million dogs. Wow! As many furry creatures as human beings. New York City is basically just concrete and steel. And so, when you have a pet in New York City and it dies, you could just go in the backyard and bury it. There is no backyard. And so, the city authorities decided that for $50, they would dispose of your deceased pet for you. Leave it to the engineering of humans. One lady was more enterprising. She thought, I can render a service to people in the city and save them money at the same time. She placed an ad in the newspaper that said, quote, when your pet dies, I will come and take care of the carcass for you for $25, unquote. That was half price. And she had many, many takers. But she was wise like Solomon. This lady would go to the local Salvation Army and buy an old suitcase. They sold them for $2. Then, when someone would call about his or her pet, she would go to the home and place the deceased pet in the suitcase. But there's another thing. She would then take a ride on the New York City subway where there are thieves and set the suitcase on the next seat. She never failed to have some interested party. She would act like she wasn't watching. A thief would come by and steal her suitcase. She'd look up and say, wait, stop, thief! And they would steal the suitcase and what was in it. My guess is that the people who stole the suitcases got a real surprise when they got home. The point, a lot of us are like New York thieves. We're chasing after happiness. We grab what we think will give us happiness. However, when we get it, it doesn't quite deliver.